Hi, everyone. This is Coach Fab for Casinos USA, and welcome to our fifth season and our 46th podcast. Let's talk about comps. You know what comps are. Those are those free buffets, free concert tickets, free room nights, free stays. Yeah, a lot of us enjoy those at casinos. In fact, the first step is getting a player's card, which of course is free. Just go to the player's club. They're basically called player's clubs. But anyway, this ask security if you don't know where it is, and they'll tell you. And you just go and you register by giving them your driver's license, and you're started on your way to comps. Oh my goodness, what an exciting moment. Well, let's talk about the big picture with comps and how to get comps when you travel from one casino to the other. In fact, we'll start with a phone call we took from Massachusetts asking that very question. Someone who's about to become a diamond player at that tribal casino that's as large as New York City, Foxwoods in Connecticut. Oh my goodness, it's so big. And taking that and parlaying that into maybe casino rates or for stays or free rooms even or free buffets at other gaming companies' casinos across the country. Like, so how do you do that? So we'll be right back with the phone call, and we're ready to go in episode 46. Let's talk about comps.
Hello, this is Uncle G calling in from Massachusetts. I wanted to thank you for your podcast. More specifically, I really enjoy your comments about low rolling on the craps table. I do some similar strategies. And also really taking the time to enjoy all the amenities that are afforded to us at these beautiful properties. So I appreciate the way you describe that and you reinforce it. It also helps me when I'm on a 2 or 3 day casino trip to enjoy my time away from the table. So I really appreciate that. One of the ways I keep the volatility lower on the craps table is by playing the shoot-to-win craps game. You know, it frequently can be found for maybe, a $3 line bet and maybe 2x odds. So that's my tip for how I keep the volatility down. I also find that I'm more likely to take my bets up and down on that machine, more likely than I am to take bets down on the table. My question for you today is, I am probably going to hit diamond status at Foxwoods Casino in Connecticut. And I'm wondering how I can leverage that diamond status in taking a road trip across the country. I do have some friends I want to visit in Columbus. I have some friends I want to visit in Bedford, Indiana, and then also farther west. And I'm wondering, do I simply call up player relations or something ahead of time with my status? And I'm wondering, you know, I'm hoping to easily get a free room, maybe some free play and some buffets at different casinos. One of my concerns is that Foxwoods isn't really associated with other casinos. It's not an M Life property. It's not a Total Rewards property. And I know that you enjoy spending time at Rising Star, Belterra, Rivers. So how is it that I can leverage my black card status, my diamond card status, at some of these other casinos? I'd be interested in your opinion on that, your guidance and your advice. Again, this is Uncle G calling from Massachusetts. I appreciate your podcast, and I appreciate your input on this. Thank you. Bye now.
Well, thank you for those kind words about our podcast, Uncle G from Massachusetts. I'll tell you, that threw me for a second because we have an Uncle G from Columbia, Maryland in our family, but obviously this is not the same Uncle G. Let's talk about comps in general, and then we will definitely get back to your question. You know, the first time you go to a casino, you might encounter some free comps without getting a player's card, and it's so important that you do get a player's card. But most casinos, if not every single one that I've ever been to, have free soft drinks. You know, whether you call it pop or soda, they usually have machines that dispense it. You just help yourself. And then, of course, many, many casinos have free beer, and it's usually a house beer. Like, you don't order a beer. It's going to be a Bud Light or something like that. Then, of course, you get into the level where you can order any beer you want. And then there are casinos that also have free mixed drinks. I remember when the Wynn opened, my wife and I were there just a few days after the opening. And I'll tell you what, sit down at a slot machine and ask for the drinks they were serving were just incredible. They were, you know, the typical $15, $16 cocktails. That didn't last, but it was nice for a while. But then after you get, you know, through the soft drinks, the beer, the mixed drinks, then there's free meals. And usually it's a buffet. Sometimes it's to a upscale restaurant on site, you know, a steakhouse, for example. Charlestown, West Virginia, the Hollywood there, we often get comped up to their private restaurants. And they have an excellent Chinese restaurant there. It's just wonderful. And, of course, soon enough, you'll be embracing free hotel rooms. And to tell you the truth about that, it's difficult for us often to agree to go anywhere that's not comped. You just get used to those comps. And then if we continue up the levels, you talk about airfare. They're not common now, but once there were junkets. But there are still promotions that we get that include airfare. And usually it's from Western Pennsylvania, flying out of Latrobe Airport. That's the hometown of Arnie Palmer, of course, the beloved, now deceased golfer. From Latrobe Airport, I guess it's called Palmer Airport now, to Biloxi, Mississippi, to one of the casinos. And it includes, you know, reduced airfare and also reduced room rate. Very reasonable. I talked to some people that made that trip and they loved it. So, you know, RFBs, room, food, beverage, and the higher you go, the better it goes. You can start getting into the level where you get upgraded rooms to suites. We have done that, but we haven't gone past the basic suite with our comps, you know, complimentary stays. But people do. They go into presidential suites, the top of the line, you know, looking at the swimming pool outside the, the door. It really gets to be pretty crazy. But complimentary gifts of this sort are based on theoretical losses, and that's figured out mathematically. I don't want to say the word algorithm, but it's more or less that's the case, because the house has a statistical advantage on slot machines and table games, and by your level of play and the length of your play, they can calculate how much money you are going to lose. And I know that's not true in every case. There's aberrations, and you can often win in the short term. But again, the longer you play, the more likely it is that you will lose, because you're going against what they call the house edge. And that's the statistical advantage that the slot machines or the table game enjoys against all comers, you know. So that's where the complimentaries come back. And so it seems like it's free, but it may not be free, because you might be losing money to get those complimentaries. But nonetheless, that's one of the appeals of casino culture. It's certainly a strong appeal. And, you know, you can ask a question to, and I don't know if you'll get an honest answer, but if somebody figured out every free meal they got, every free drink they got, every free hotel room they got, etc., and then try to put that against the amount of money they lost in casinos, I think most people would be in the negative. You'd be happy to be even, you know, because if you're even, then that means your rooms, your food, your drinks were truly free. So before we answer Uncle G's question, let's just say, enjoy casino comps, but never ever gamble more because you're getting comps. Like, don't feel like you have to gamble to a point that you're not comfortable with. Don't put more money at risk because you want a comp. You know, I've used the reference many times to you're playing craps or pie gow or whatever it is, blackjack, and you lose $800 and you get a free buffet. You'd have been a lot better off to pay the $25 for the buffet or whatever it is than to lose the $800. So you got to keep comps in perspective. Now, Uncle G's question is interesting, and Janie and I and other members of Casinos USA have lived this. Because we are comped nearly everywhere we gamble, not every single place, but nearly everywhere we gamble, and we travel, like, how do we do that? How do we get calms at a place that we maybe haven't been there before? And this might be some important information for a large number of our listeners. So we'll go slowly and talk about what has worked for us in the past. It's no certainty that it will work for you, but this is how we would approach it, and this is the advice that we're giving Uncle G. So we'll take a short break, and we'll come back, and we'll explain how to extend your calms into places you are visiting for the first time. We'll be right back after our legendary island music. Here it comes. We're back. Well, once you get a casino host, you know, you've been playing so long, and you want to get a relationship there in terms of a name. That's where we start. I actually send our host Christmas cards. Okay. Yeah, I'm not being insincere because they take care of us, so you just like to say thank you. And I often stop into the offices, the host offices, the casino. Almost all casinos have, and knock on the door and just say, hey, you know, is Corey here? Is Elaine here? You know, is Andrea here? Just if they are, say, hey, thank you. We really appreciate the complimentary stay and all the things you do for us, and I just wanted to say hello. Sometimes they're busy. They just say, oh, thanks for stopping in, something like that. Other times they'll sit down and talk and say, hey, how was your drive? That kind of thing. So try to, you know, first of all, try to get a host, and then get onto a relationship, at least a name relationship with them. And then once you do, give them a call or ask them in person if you stop in their office and say, look, in 3 weeks I'm traveling to the state of Indiana, Iowa, and to my knowledge, our casino status will not transfer because these people are not associated with this gaming company. And in his case, he said Foxwoods, and Foxwoods, of course, sort of has exclusivity with that. They may or may not share with others. I'm not sure about that because I'm not a Foxwoods person. But if they don't, what you want to ask them is, can I use you for a reference? Sometimes would it be better for you to call about me, or just should I use you as a reference? And I know you mentioned visiting friends in Columbus, and that's Sieta Downs. That's a Hollywood. That's a marquee property. And it's strange, the configurations. The Marquee Gaming Company is also associated with the Tropicana on the Las Vegas Strip. And I was unaware of that. But we go to Charlestown, West Virginia. There's a Hollywood there. It's a Marquee Hollywood. And quite recently, we got emails from the Tropicana. And we realized it was Marquee Gaming by the email. And we got several nights free there. Boy, beautiful rooms. We were treated like royalty. So sometimes there's a configuration that you may be unaware of, that your present casino where you do most of your gambling is also associated with other casinos around the country. And so maybe you could plan your trips that way to go to those casinos. Makes it much easier. I'll give you an example. We were jumping for joy when Pinnacle, which is Belterra in southern Indiana, came up to run the Meadows in western Pennsylvania, because we gambled there too. And now the points, finally, they have the same card, and now the points transfer. So we're going to be at the Meadows as much or more than at the Belterra because it's a distance. You know, one is an hour 20 away, and the other one is 6 hours away in southern Indiana from western Pennsylvania. But we love the Belterra, and so that these points transfer to us, that's great. So you might be surprised by that. So the other one is Ameristar in Iowa. I see you're doing some traveling. That's in Council Bluffs, Iowa. I'd check that out, too. There's some smaller gaming companies that you can maybe get a relationship with because of your host. So call your new casino directly and ask for a host, and then when you get someone on, they'll ask for your player's card number and say, well, the reason I'm calling you today is I don't have a player's card. I've never been to your casino, but I am at this level at Foxwoods, and I'm asking you if I can do anything to gain some benefit from that. Any promotion that you might have, any BOGO, you know, any reduced rate or a free room, that kind of thing, casino rate. You know, and Foxwoods is a tribal casino, so I was suggesting that they may have relationships with other tribal casinos. Seneca Allegheny comes to mind, Four Winds in New Buffalo, Michigan. There's also a Four Winds satellite slots only machine casino in South Bend, Indiana. So, you know, check into that. But one, I wouldn't say trick, but one thing you can do, and they say, well, we can't really do much for you, you never played here before, say, well, what would happen if I open up a credit line? And generally, when you open up a credit line, there's going to be some kind of comp. At least there'll be a casino rate on the room. And I'm telling you, most of the time, there'll be much more. You know, well, if you're going to do that, then we can put you up or we can offer you this. And then the people that you're visiting, they may have a relationship with the casinos too. And sometimes they'll get benefits from bringing a friend and signing up for the first time. And you and they may get some free play, that kind of thing. So, you know, ask your friends that you're visiting if they have that. So anyway, Uncle G, we hope our response does generate some ideas for you. I'm going to just tell you a great device that we use, a tool, is the American Casino Guide. Make sure it's the most recent one, which would be 2018. And we like to buy that on Amazon. It's the best price. It's around $15. It has every casino in the country. It has information about them. It has phone numbers to call, etc. It also has coupons that they may work in some of the casinos that you'll be visiting for reduced room rates or two-for-one room rates, two nights for one price of one, also buffet deals, etc. So American Casino Guide, as we'd suggest, that's a big, big help when you're traveling. It's almost like a triple-A book. It tells you about the area. The other thing that you mentioned in your phone call, and we appreciate your comments on this, and we wish more people would grab onto it, is because we travel so much and visiting casino properties, we do take the time to enjoy all the amenities that we can that a casino offers that appeal to us, you know, like swimming pools, indoor, outdoor, you know, golf courses, weight rooms, you know, workout rooms, saunas. Sometimes the casinos have stores to visit that are interesting and curious. Some of them have lobby bars that are fantastic. You heard me go on and on about the Belterra's Lobby Bar, which I think is the best one in the country. And not only that, we don't stop at the casino door or parking lot or parking garage. We also find out about what to see in that particular area. So to spend a half a day or a rainy day checking out the geographical, you know, nature of where we are and also visiting some of the landmarks. Yeah, we've done housing tours and visited wineries in the local area. We've had a blast with that. As much fun as we've had staying at casinos, we've had that equal amount of fun experiencing the things that casinos offer on the outside in their area. So we really love the fact that you brought that up, and we hope other people grab onto that. Okay, we're going to move on to part two of episode 46, and we're going to ask a question. What's a better deal? When you go to a casino, particularly Las Vegas, is it better to rent a car or do Uber or cabs? All right, so we're going to weigh in on that, and we're going to turn to Janie because she has some strong feelings about that. Uber it, cab it, or rent a car? All right, short break. We'll be right back. Well, we're back. Hey, and my partner since ninth grade, and that goes back away, is here, Janie. I know, obviously, if you're staying at a casino resort in Las Vegas and you're not going to do much traveling from that resort, obviously, you just take Uber or a cab once in a while. But if you're the kind of person or you're the family or you're the group of friends that travels up and down the strip and off the strip, what are your feelings about that?
First, I think you have to... It depends on how long you're staying. You know, if you're only there for 3 days, I don't know how much you're going to get accomplished in that amount of time, especially if you're there for a reason. If you're going for a conference, a convention, if you're going to see, like the rodeo and the bull riders.
Oh, if that's at South Point. That's what you'd like to do.
I know. I would like to go see that. Or if you're there for a wedding or an anniversary or anything like that, you know, then you're going to be at that function most of the time. Well,
let's say you're there 5 to 7 days.
Okay, and then, well, other than the length of time you're going to be there, then the next thing is what month of the year is it? Because if it's July or August, you aren't walking very far unless you're very, very fit and you do it very early in the morning.
Well, who hasn't had this experience? Look out the window and you say, oh, that's just right up there. And then what happens?
Oh, it happens all the time to people. Everything looks like it's so much closer and you think, well, I can walk up there. Well, by the time you just walk through your own casino and then up the street to the next one, that's a little bit difficult. Now, if you're, what we find a lot of times, like with Mandalay Bay and the Luxor and Excalibur, there's tunnels underneath. You can walk underneath the whole way from one to the other. You can also take a tram that's there between them. So that takes care of that. There was a tram before between Treasure Island and the Mirage. And also from, it used to be the Monte Carlo. What is it now? The Park MGM?
Yeah, and also the Bellagio was involved in that, too.
Well, that went from the Park MGM to the Bellagio. I haven't been in there recently, so I don't know if that's still operational or not. But it, and if you take a cab, for instance, I took the one granddaughter up to the Stratosphere
from
the Luxor.
From the Luxor to the Stratosphere.
And yeah, and it was $36 round trip.
Okay.
And that was just, and that, so that wasn't for
so
very
that's,
long.
So that's more than the cost of renting a car for one day.
If you're getting like a $30 rate, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Now you have to add in parking if you're staying at hotels that charge for parking. But still, I think, and it's also, we would have gone more places had I had a car. Now, and her mother, who lives there, was teaching school at the time and was busy, so right. She wasn't out. And
so you had no choice but to take a cab.
Right, because we use her car. She takes us a lot of places, obviously, when we're there. And when I told my one grandson who lives there how much it was, he said, oh, Nan, you got an Uber. You have to figure that one out and Uber, because it would be half as much at least. But, well, it's still going to add up even if you Uber.
I know a little bit about the rental prices right now. So can you give us, like, what do you think the rental prices are, say, for 6-7 days?
Well, you're going to pay, if you're getting a $30 a day type vehicle, a Toyota Corolla in that category, you're going to be at $225 for about 6 days, I think.
Okay.
Now, I don't know that you need one for 6 days. You know, you, it depends what you want to do. If you want to drive to the desert, if you want to go sightseeing, if you want to go up hiking to Red Rock,
Boulder,
if you want
Dam.
To go to Boulder Dam,
so
which
thinking,
I advise people to do when they're there. If you want to go, you know, to Boulder City, if you want to go to the casinos on the outskirts, if you want to go anywhere else, then even drive to California. Some people go out there and then drive to Laguna Beach.
So that's the ticket. So you're thinking, like, okay, you don't need to rent a car for a week. You rent it maybe 2 or 3 days. I do know this. You want to talk about taking an insurance card with you from home, how much money you can save?
Well, yes, you don't have to buy there. You don't have to buy the rental agency's insurance when you have your own auto insurance. It will cover that. So you need to have that card with you.
Yeah, and you can always check with your agent or company and make sure that that's covered. But almost every insurance company I know that I ever dealt with,
rental cars
are covered. But, you know, just double check. But to get approval to do that, if you don't have your insurance card from your state, they're going to charge you $25, $35 a day insurance.
Right, right. That's a given. The other thing, I just don't know that you'd want a car every day for a week unless you were planning to travel around and you had destinations. Because when we've been out there, now, if you're fit, like I said, we had a couple of, when our son got married there and we had friends going out, one couple walked the entire strip, and it was in July. Now, it wasn't the 100-plus days where it was extremely hot, but they walked it all. So, and you can walk between them here and there, but it gets a little taxing.
And you also have to say, and I'm going to be completely honest, there's an element of danger
walking
late on the
right.
Strip.
Well, walking any time on the Strip. because cars come right up to the curb.
Oh, yeah, there's
and
that, too.
And they're speeding, and, you know, there have been so many accidents on the Strip or on the side streets.
I mean, the Chamber of Commerce doesn't talk about it, but intoxicated drivers in Las Vegas, it's epic, the problem. It's epic. You can imagine coming out of casinos, drinking free brews, you know, and then they're driving, so...
Well, I think you just have to decide what you might want to do. And another tip with that is if you've never been there, if this is your first time going, you really need to grab a couple books if possible or go online and see what all there is to do and what you might want to do. You know, there's probably certain hotels or casinos and casino hotels, resorts that you might want to see because you've heard about them.
Well, I guess, and it comes to mind when you say that, the
New Orleans.
That's a Boyd property. That's off the Strip. Samstown, that's a Boyd property. I think both of those are worth visiting. The Gold Coast, the Rio, those are all worth visiting. And then, you know, if you have a car, it's easy to do. I know off the Strip, almost every parking lot is free. But on the Strip, it's what, the Treasure Island, the Wynn,
and the Encore.
The Stratosphere.
They're all free.
So there's still some free parking.
You would probably want to go to the Stratosphere because you want to go to the top and get that view. You want to see those international thrill rides that are at the top there. And they also have, what, the fastest elevator west of the Mississippi, or there's some connotation to it that's worth a whole day going to see.
And for some people that are low rollers like you and I, the casinos on Boulder Highway, those are great stops, and you need a car to get there.
Right. Now, some of the hotels, depending on the properties, there's shuttles from one to the other. I remember the Rio and Harrah's had a shuttle. You could get one to the other.
Right. I remember that, too. You could get a shuttle from the Rio to get to the Strip and back again.
Right.
Went to Harrah's.
Right,
But I don't know if it's still going on.
We haven't stayed at the Rio for quite a while, so I wouldn't know if it's still going on. I might add here, too, the friends of ours that were at the Luxor, and they were staying at the Luxor for Jeff's wedding, and then they walked the Strip. They also rented a car one day right there at the hotel, and they said it was the easiest thing they ever did. So don't think, you know, it's a big, complicated process.
So you don't have to do it at the airport.
No, you don't have to get one at the airport. You don't have to even make arrangements at all. Almost every hotel can hook you up with a rental car. I don't think that's hard. They said there was no problem, and they just brought it back to the hotel when they were done, and they took care of everything. So they made it sound very easy. I might also add here, there's the monorail we haven't talked about, but it only is on the one side of the Strip. So, and it doesn't stop at every hotel. It has certain stops, and what's a little complicated with that is just learning which tickets to buy for it. You have to have tickets. And so there are stations where you can purchase the tickets, and you can get an all-day ticket, you can get a three-day ticket. There's all kind of plans with that, so you have to know what you're doing just to purchase the tickets.
But here's a big issue, I think, that a lot of people, first-time people to Las Vegas, don't understand. Let's say you're staying at some relatively inexpensive place like the Excalibur, okay, and then you have a dinner date with friends, and you're going all the way down to the Wynn. And you go out to get a cab or an Uber, and you find out the wait line is 45 minutes long.
Oh,
it's
that's
Saturday
right.
night.
Oh, it's
and
right.
And then you're going to say to yourself, why the hell didn't I spend $30 to rent a car today?
Right. Yeah, the rental, it's very difficult sometimes on the weekend. If you're going to rent a car, the weekend's the time to do it, because Friday and Saturday nights and even on Sundays, it's very difficult to get a cab fast. There's lines, and people do not let you jump very often. And we had a medical situation one time, and it was a nightmare. I also might add that when you go from hotel to hotel, that's not too difficult, because the cab drivers know they're going to get another fare when they go to the hotel. There's going to be a long line there, and they're going to be able to pick someone up. But if you have taken a cab to an area outside of the city or in different parts of the city.
UNLV, for example.
Yeah, if you want to go over to UNLV or just anywhere else, you can have a problem getting a cab because they don't want to go there. The cab drivers don't want to go there. And now since Uber's around, it's easier. and there are more of them. But still, you're at the mercy, and I want to say mercy, not discretion. You're at the mercy of what they, where they want to go and how profitable they feel it's going to be to them.
Hey, Jenny, I know you're rushed, but today's episode is referred to as Let's Talk About Comps. And I know you have a point you always bring up about comps.
If you want a comp, you have to ask for it. If you don't get them in the mail on a mailing, or you don't see them on the machine when you're playing after you insert your card, then you need to ask for one. You need, if you're playing table games, you need to talk to the pit boss and say, look, I've been playing for 2.5 hours here. I need a lunch. I'd like a dinner.
I think you have a record. I've never seen you turn down when you ask that question. Do I qualify for a comp?
Well, I usually probably don't phrase it quite like that. I just ask them if we can have one, because if you don't ask, you won't get it. And in some places hand them out more freely than others, but I've noticed over the last couple years, everybody's tightened up some. They're just not as free with them as they used to be.
But the reality is, the worst thing that can happen if you ask for a comp is what?
They'll say no.
And that doesn't happen very often. And we've had times when we were surprised by it. They said, oh, sure. They gave us much more than we expected.
Or we were going into... one time we were going to a restaurant in the casino,
it's
and the girl said, oh, it's really crowded in here tonight. Here, I'll give you 2 comps for the seafood buffet, which was... they had great crab legs, and we much preferred that anyway.
Okay. Hey, well, thanks for your contribution today. So next time we go to Vegas, I guess at least for a couple days, we're going to rent a car.
That's correct.
Okay, we're going to take a short break and come right back for the final section of our podcast today, part 3. And that is casino group therapy and more or less combined with Craps Talk. So we'll be right back. Casino group therapy, Craps Talk, coming at you. This is could be a generic question, but it's also a question for craps players. But anybody who goes to a casino, do you really know what you're getting into? You're walking into a place where the house edge, the odds, the statistical advantage is on the casino side in every game and on every slot machine that you play. And don't believe anyone who tells you that you can change that. You can't change that. That's why they keep building casinos all around the country. So you're an underdog. And, you know, that's okay. You're an underdog. You can lessen the house edge, but you can't completely destroy it or take it away, you know, bet after bet after bet. You just can't do it. So I want to talk to you about, do you really understand the game of craps? Because there are so many people who put $5, or if it's a $10 table, $10 on the pass line, and then a point is established. And again, the point numbers are 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, 10. The puck goes to that number. And now the 7 that would have won for you on the come-out roll will now lose for you. You know, that's the flip-flop. And that pass line bet that was so good on the come-out roll because a 7 and an 11 won for you, now turns against you. 11 won't hurt you, but a 7 will beat you. So, if it's a 6 or an 8, that's the point. That's not a bad bet. If it's a 5 or a 9, that's not as good as a 6 or an 8. If it's a 4 or a 10, statistically, that's not a very good bet. But you're stuck on the pass line because that's tied to the established point. And the way to get around that is to make an odds bet behind the pass line. Because those odds bets behind the pass line, and we talked about that, you put your money right behind your chips that are on the pass line in the open green space. And we talked about 3-2-1. If it's a 6 or an 8, put 3 times the amount that you have on the pass line. If it's a 5 or a 9, put 2 times in your odds bet behind the pass line. And if it's a 4 or 10, listen, you have to put at least one chip there. If it's $10, if it's a $5, it's one chip. If it's $10 on the pass line, it's 2 chips. Whatever it is, you have to match that. Otherwise, you're really caving into the house edge and your bet really sucks. That's a challenge. The question again is, do you really know what's happening when you walk into a casino? And so as we talk about these issues in our group therapy session today, I'm going to suggest this to you. If you're a craps player and you just don't feel comfortable making odds bets, then don't make pass line bets. Just make place bets. You know, once the point is established, then place the 6 or 8 with a minimum amount, and that's the way you can enjoy craps. Because if you're making pass line bets without odds bets behind them, you're really fighting the house edge, friend. You can win sometimes, but you're really fighting the house edge. And more than not, you're going to lose. So, place bets have a role in your craps player life. If you're not making odds bets, then friends, don't put $5 on the pass line. Put $6 on the 6, or $6 on the 8, or even better yet, put $6 on each of them if you're at a minimum $5 table. The minimum bet for a 6 or 8 goes in $6 units. And you'll be a whole lot better off. And continuing with that question, do you really know what you're getting into when you walk into a casino? I'm going to acknowledge that there are certain things I don't do because I know what I'm getting into. I don't go to the poker room unless I'm with a table of friends. Why? Because I know my limitations and I'm not afraid or embarrassed to acknowledge them. If there are professional poker players sitting at the table, and casinos will tell you if you're close to your host, don't do it, because they come there and they can't be turned away and they just want to rip off tourists because their poker skills just supersede yours. I know it. And I learned 15 years ago, I can't compete with those people. So I'll play poker in Las Vegas at a casino if I'm at a table like a wedding where I'm with a group of friends, you know, or some business situation where the whole table is to our business. I'll play poker and I'll enjoy it. But I'm not going to get destroyed, demolished, annihilated by poker pros. So I'm just not going to play. Again, know what you're getting into when you walk into a casino. I hope that doesn't offend you. It's just an alert that I want you to embrace because it will pay off. Comps. We all love them, but let's be honest. If you totaled up all the comps that we got against all the money that we lost, most of us would have been better just to pay for those things and not lose money. But for me, I enjoy gambling. And the fact that, you know, I don't always lose, and you probably don't always lose either. So for the last few years, I've been ahead every year, slightly. And I enjoy getting comps. I enjoy that. All right, let's talk about comps. Well, you do that with your friends, with your spouse, with your significant other, all right? And know what you're getting into when you walk into a casino. All right, we'll see you in 2 weeks. Thanks for listening. Casinos USA, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that's what we're all about. And Casinos USA is a place where every day is Saturday. See you soon. So long.